I don't know about your living room, but I have lights just like these in my living room. So, I mean, I feel like I'm at home. We got a big stage in our living room. I mean, this is how we roll. So we're after creating a place that is informal, that is intimate, that is personal, where the glory of God is dwelling amongst us, many different generations, many different denominations, many different churches, many different ethnicities coming together for one purpose, to see God glorified in this county, in this state, in this nation in unprecedented ways. And I believe with all my heart that God has put a microscope or a magnifying lens on Lancaster County. And he said, I want to do something in this county that will inspire the whole nation what's possible. And I believe that we're gathered here together tonight, tomorrow night, for that purpose. When we gathered this summer, we could not have known what God would do. But as those of us who are here, the Lord moved beyond any, you know, human ability. He moved so powerfully. I was shocked because nobody knows who, you know, we are. It's not like we have big names to draw crowds or anything like that. We prefer that. And yet so many came just out of the hunger of their own heart, believing that God is doing something unique and unprecedented in our day, and that this county and this city have a key and a crucial role to play in it. So we met this summer. Many of you that would remember, we had about 5 or 6 nights together. I was so tired by the end, almost died, but it was one of the highlights of my entire life. I cannot tell you, it changed my whole perspective on what's possible, on the ripeness of the hour, and the hunger of this county and the people that live in this area. I was blown away. Give you a little recap. Some of the things that we talked about during that time, we went after faith. I don't know if how many of you remember the opening night. We went after striking the ground numerous times, unlike the king, and I think it's Jehoshadak in the Old Testament, who struck the ground 3 times, got rebuked for a little bit of apathy. So we struck the ground violently in this place. I think the building might have shook, declaring that it's a new day and that God is doing his amazing things and that we believe him for the fullness of his promises and his dreams to be fulfilled. Some of you remember the second night. Second night, we went after the love of Jesus, understanding a courageous, initiatory love that seeks and saves the lost, a love that knows no boundaries, a love that goes after the hardest, the darkest, the most lost, and the most broken. And as some of you are here, you remember, we started reading the headings from the book of Mark, like Jesus heals the sick, and then everybody yelled, I don't remember, Jesus heals the sick, or something like that, right? And then we said, Jesus cleanses the leper, and everybody yelled, what do we yell? We cleanse, oh yeah, cleanse. We yelled the verbs, that's right. So everybody yelled, like, Jesus heals the sick, and then everyone went, heals! And we just walked our way through. It wasn't even Bible, guys. Some dude made up those headings. I don't even know who made them up. And we read through these headings of these verbs, these actions of Jesus all throughout Scripture. And when we got to the end, and it talked about the last phrase was Jesus rises from the dead, Jesus' resurrection. And the room erupted. And the testimony of what happened that night has gone all over the world, where I hear other people refer to the Lancaster roar, this roar that was released from the county where the silence was broken, hunger was released, and it was all about Jesus and his resurrection power. It's the most unifying force in human history in the church, Jesus and his resurrection power. And the room erupted. You know, you're kind of used to the swell of noise and then, you know, the courtesy kind of starts to die down, and there's the one overzealous guy in the front row. There's always one of those guys. I love those guys. He starts picking it up, and everybody's winding down. Overzealous guy starts screaming. Joel Baumberger in the front. His whole posse going for it. Next thing you know, that overzealous guy brings the whole room back up. Got another like 10-second crescendo, and then that guy decides he's out of juice, and so he lets the whole thing go down, and everybody has a great time. This thing never ended. The room just erupted. People started standing on chairs. They started crowd rushing the front. There's nobody even up here. We don't have a nice band, no nice E minor in the background, you know, no great lights, no fog machine, nothing going on. Just the revelation of Jesus and his resurrection. And it was wild. I sat there going, what in the world is happening? I've read about this, but what are we experiencing right now? And God spoke to us that he was shattering silence. And that the sound of the resurrection was coming to the county like never before. The sound of the resurrection was going to every home and every community and every family. And that truly Lancaster was an example for the nation. It was wild. I really walked away from that time going, I can't believe we even got to be in the room. And I can't believe the hunger that's in this community. The rest of the week, we talked about things like a love without boundaries. We talked about how we have confused at times where we have hated sin as we should, but at other times we've actually hated sinners wrongly. And we talked about Jesus, who was a man who had no boundary on his love. He hated sin with all of his heart, but he loved every broken, hurting, dying sinner that he ran into, and he brought them into redemption, into a revelation of his love. We talked about a love without boundaries like that. We dreamt together. What would a love-saturated city look like? What would a love-saturated county look like? What does a love-saturated home look like? What does a love-saturated marriage look like? And we dreamt together, could he do it here? Could he do it in Lancaster City? Could he do it in Lancaster County? Could the nation look on and go, wow, that's what love looks like. When the bride tears down its dividing walls. When the bride gets over its fear of the loss and the fear of darkness. When the bride begins to live like Jesus lived and to love like Jesus loved. What would it look like for a county to be saturated in the love and the power of Jesus? We talked about that. And many of you remember the last three nights were really about unity and family. Man, it was just a big family fun event. Every night people were getting saved. They were coming to the gatherings. One of the highlights for me is I was standing over here. I was so tired. I thought I'd pass out. Seriously, I was wanting to call a stretcher. I was just so happy that Lindy still had energy and she was still dancing. That dance she does, it's so crazy. I wish I could learn it. I can't dance. And I was standing back here just so tired. A dude came up to me and he tapped me on the shoulder and he's dancing wild too. And he goes, this guy just got saved. And I look over there and the dude he just got saved because he didn't know how Christians were supposed to dance. And he's just spinning around. Out of rhythm, doesn't care, you know, none of this, just spinning. And he looks at me at the realization that I just heard, and he ran up to me, gave me a giant high five, and then ran around and kept spinning and dancing. I couldn't believe it. People getting saved all over the streets of the city. Some of you remember there were over 400 salvations on the streets of the city as we went out with simple love and the gospel message. And we ended, some of you would remember, we ended by standing and grabbing hands, holding them up in the air together and declaring there's a new family in Lancaster County that goes beyond denominational walls, beyond generational walls, beyond ethnic walls, beyond our backgrounds and our streams. There's a family united in love, united in purpose, united in the gospel that's forming in this county. Do you guys remember that, some of you? Why don't we just do it again right now? Just grab hands with the person next to you. Let's just start it off right. Yes, this is a beautiful sight. I wish you could all see what I'm seeing right now. This is a beautiful sight where true family is coming together around the gospel message, where true family is coming together around the love of Jesus, where family is coming around faith, actually believing the promises of God are possible in this generation, in this place. Why not now? Why not here? Why not us? Oh, this is beautiful. Just look around. Look around at the room if you can. If you can twist and hold your arms up. Say, nope, Jed's saying no. That's too much flexibility. Don't hurt yourself. Don't pull a muscle. Okay. You can lay your hands down now. So, here we are now, like, what was it, 6 months later? And I just want to say, as someone who, you know, has both lived here, married into the region, you know, grafted into the family, but also lives in, I live in Hawaii. My name is Andy Bird. I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce myself. I thought you were in my living room. You knew who I was, right? So I live, you know, in Hawaii. We're coming in. And I just want to say what an honor it is to be among such amazing people, to serve alongside such amazing leaders and pastors. I look around the room at pastors, spiritual leaders that I've known for years being connected to the region. And I'm just, it's such an honor to be together. Thank you for coming. I look around at business leaders that I know from the years of being connected here. Thank you for coming. Look around at all these wild young people that God has raised up. There can't be a place in the world with more wild young people than Lancaster County. I'm serious. So wild, I tell all my young guys to marry a lady from Lancaster County. I do. And so they come here just to visit. They say they're like coming to the dentist or something. They're not. They're coming at my advice because the wildness in the heart of the young people. But here we are 6 months later in another living room moment. And we've been asking the Lord, what does he want to say to us as we gather again? What's the next thing he wants to deposit in this living room? So pull up a couch, you know, pull that little lever on the Lazy Boy right now, you know, grab some Pringles. I don't know what you snack on, hummus, pita, I don't know, something vegan, whatever your jam is, like just grab a hold of it right now. And we're just going to spend some time together in a living room asking God to deposit in us the keys. And here's the key phrase right here is the keys to transformation. The keys to transformation. Because we are so aware that evening meetings or gatherings don't equate to revival and transformation. But what can happen as we gather in these living rooms is the glory of God, a revelation of his greatness, strategies from his heart, the culture of his kingdom, unity and convergence and collaboration. But true transformation comes with what we do when we walk out of here, back to our homes, back to our communities, our families, our marriages, our universities, our high schools, our junior highs, our elementary schools, our workplaces. So we believe that out of these several days we're going to spend together, that God's going to deposit something in the living room of Lancaster again that are keys for transformation as we move forward. We're dreaming together with local and regional leaders and pastors about what it will look like to continue to walk that out in a very practical way in the months, weeks, months, and years to come. We believe that this is a long-term thing. And I personally, with all of my heart, I don't even know how to say it rightfully with what's really in here. There aren't words. There's more noises than words. It's I believe with all of my heart that God is going to move in Lancaster County in ways that we have never seen before. And it will not be one group, one name, one person. It will be all people coming together in the bride of Christ in unity and love to see real, practical, simple transformation as Jesus is made known on the streets of the city, the streets of this county. We're meeting unto that end. We're meeting unto regional transformation. So I want to ask again, so that we're in dreaming mode as we head into tonight. What would it look like for a home to be saturated in the gospel and in the love of Jesus? What would that home look like? What would a church community look like fully saturated in the gospel and in the love of Jesus? What would a workplace, what would a high school look like? What would Penn Manor look like saturated in the love of Jesus and the gospel message? What would Hempfield look like, saturated in the gospel message? What would East Petersburg look like, saturated in the love of Jesus? What would Ephrata and Lititz and what would Gap and, you know, what would Lancaster City and what would E-Town and what would all these places look like, saturated in the love of Jesus? What does it look like when the revelation of Jesus so firmly grips the hearts and the minds of people in a location? What does it look like? That's what we want to dream about. What is the next piece that God wants to deposit in this living room that would spill out of here into the streets of this location, this place, our homes, all of that? And why here? I want to ask that question, because why Lancaster County? Why this city? And we know it's bigger than that. There's been people flown in from other states and other regions or driven. I don't know if you braved the cold and the snow. If you did, you're a hero. You are truly unprecedented. I had a little swagger wagon just trying to get into town today on a minivan. My goodness, I do not recommend that. Bald tires, Bardwell, you need new tires on your van, bro. We were ice skating the whole way into town. So I commend you if you drove further than Washington Borough, which is where I came from this morning. It's not that far. And why Lancaster? Here's why Lancaster. Because Lancaster County and the people of this county will do what Jesus says. That's why you're dangerous. That's why you're dangerous people, because you're radically obedient. You're incredibly practical. You love to actually walk things out on a day-to-day basis. I believe that Lord looked at the nation. He sees many places. There's many amazing things going on. But he looked at this county and he looked at this region. He said, they'll do anything I ask them. And he went, whoa, Gabriel, get over here. They'll do anything I ask them. They're practical. They milk cows. They build houses, sometimes without nails. The rest of the world looks on with awe. They build houses without nails in Lancaster County. They'll actually put their hand to the work that I ask them. And I believe that's why Lancaster County. Because you're a radically obedient people and you've shown that for decades and decades and decades. And the Lord's favor is on you. And he is releasing revelation and understanding that when walked out will lead to transformation. So what's our living room conversation today? Are you comfortable? Do you have your recliner? Are you ready? Yes? Do you need snacks? Ushers, please help us. Like anything. Peanut butter crackers. I don't know. Get us something. Eggnog. Pass the eggnog. Surely there's so much expired leftover eggnog after Christmas. Because nobody really likes eggnog, right? It's like fruitcake. It's the meanest Christmas present ever. Whoever started that tradition should have ended it after they started it. Okay, the living room conversation. You're like, get on with it. Here we go. Is I believe the Lord wants to speak to us tonight about something called tenacious love. He wants to teach us about love as practical, as active, as an action word, as something that we do on a daily basis. He wants to show us a love that is full of tenacity. Tenacity is like, here's what I love about tenacity. Tenacity is not flashy, because if it was, I'd be disqualified. Tenacity is not like super skilled, otherwise I'd also be disqualified. Tenacity is not like impressive even most of the time, or I'd still be disqualified. What I love about tenacity is everyone can be tenacious. Everyone can walk in something that never gives up. It's like a firm hold, like I'm not letting go. I am not giving up. It may not be pretty, it may not be flashy, but I'm not letting go. I'm holding on to whatever it may be. Tenacity is that firm, resolute grip on something that we believe to be true, good, amazing, worth holding on to, whatever it is, and never giving up. The beauty of tenacity is that it empowers every one of us because every person in this room can be tenacious. Everyone. We might not, a good thing tenacity isn't like a musician's term, you know? If it was like some flashy thing on a guitar, we'd be like, well, I guess I'll never be tenacious. Never do that chord progression. Good thing it's not like some artistic ability, right? Half the room, three quarters would be disqualified. No, tenacity is something that empowers every believer to go, I can do that. It might not be flashy. It might not draw headlines. I might not get more likes on Facebook, but I can never give up. I can hold on. I can run hard. I can walk with passion in my heart. It empowers every one of us. For myself, I've learned the most about tenacity from my children. I hear about children that like to sleep. I just don't have one. And if you do, I don't like you. I have anger in my heart towards you already. Dads whose kids just cuddle on their shoulder, I don't like you. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it. I don't want you to tell me how cuddly your kid is. I don't have one. I hear about them, but I've never seen one in my home yet. My children taught me so much about tenacity. I remember my daughter Hadassah, when she was like 3 years old, you know, there was a lot of food she didn't like, so we'd stick it in her mouth like any good parent. You know, you force the teeth open with the spoon by turning it sideways. Don't lie to me. You've all done it. You've all done it. Spoon in normal, then turn, twist, open, and insert before it closes again. And my daughter, Hadassah, she would hold food in her mouth. No lie, I am not exaggerating. 2 or 3 hours, she would hold the food in her mouth in her chair. And we'd be like, girl, you are not winning. But she fully would every time. And we'd leave her out in her high chair. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this publicly. In her high chair, food in her mouth, 2 or 3 hours, not chewing, not swallowing, holding, defiant, tenacious. We'd be like, you're still not winning, right? We think we're going to win. We never won. And we'd be like, we're putting you to bed right now. I don't care if it's 4:30. We're putting you to bed. Take her down, put her to bed, still, food in the mouth. Falling asleep, food in the mouth. Totally asleep, think we could maybe pry it open, stick it down the throat. Can't, lockjaw. How's a child sleep with lockjaw? Food still in the mouth, 2 hours into sleeping. Putting her hand in water, trying to make her do that thing, that trick, that kid trick. Maybe it'll just relax everything, you know? Nope. Lockjaw. Food still in the mouth. Unbelievable. Tenacious. She'd wake up in the morning with some clump of unidentifiable something that went in like 8 hours before, still in her mouth. And we'd be like, you win. We give up. We totally give up. We're failure as parents. You win. I learned about tenacity from my children. My youngest son, Valor, I have 4. He's part human, part dinosaur. It's amazing. He doesn't talk. He has no interest in talking. He squawks, and he's fine with that. He'll probably squawk. I hope he's not squawking when he's 14. It'd be embarrassing. But he's tenacious. He will not let go. It's unbelievable. He doesn't like to sleep. None of my kids like sleep. He's how old, and he's still, when you lay him in the crib, screams, still screaming. 10 minutes later, still screaming. He's exhausted. He's totally tired. He's screaming. Then he falls asleep, still screaming. Tell me how that's possible. It's supernatural tenacity. Totally asleep, mouth open, voice projecting. Probably already dreaming. I don't even know how. But I learned tenacity watching my children going, these are children that never give up. They never stop. They're holding on to something, their will, whatever it may be. Now I gave up. I tried to break them. They broke me. And all I'm trying to do now is direct that tenacity towards Jesus. And it's starting to happen. To direct that tenacity towards changing the world around them, towards believing that God would use them in amazing ways. But tenacity is that attribute of love that sticks inside of us that goes, I'm not going to give up. Now, I believe the first element of tenacity that Jesus wants to teach us tonight, or remind us of, not teach us, is tenacity in our pursuit of Him. You know, here we are heading into 2014, and it's the time of New Year's resolutions. And, you know, sometimes those work, sometimes not. But it is an amazing opportunity at the beginning of a year to look towards the year and go, you know what? I'm starting over again. Last year, great, awesome, maybe hard, whatever it may have been. But I'm going into this year with a fresh tenacity to pursue God. I think the first part in our living room that He wants to remind us about tenacity is that He has called and invited us. That's what really blows my mind. Not that He's just called us, but that He's invited us into a tenacious pursuit of Him. A pursuit that doesn't give up, a pursuit that's not deterred, a pursuit like we read about in the Bible. I love David. He's one of the most tenacious people in the Old Testament. He declares these psalms like, one thing I desire, this is what I seek, that I may gaze on your beauty, dwell in your house, seek you in your temple. I love his psalm, what is it, 84. He says, my heart yearns for you, my soul longs for you. I love Abraham. Think about the tenacity of Abraham. God asks Abraham to do the craziest things. Get up, leave your home, go somewhere. You don't know where you're going. I'll tell you later. Okay. Hey, I gave you a promised child. Kill him. Okay. What? You know, we read these things and we just think they're Veggie Tales. But you really like put yourself into the story and you go, would I do that? Do I have that kind of tenacity? Could I grab on to the nature and character and the beauty of God and never let go like Abraham? I love Noah. It says that Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. He was tenacious in his love and his obedience toward God. And he was asked to do some crazy stuff. How would you love that prophetic word? I love you, son. I'm going to kill everyone on the planet but you. Build a boat. Huge animals, all of them are going to fill your boat. And he did everything the Lord commanded him. Every nail, every board, every bit of ridicule, every bit of persecution, every bit of misunderstanding. And there's Noah tenaciously hanging on to God. There's Abraham tenaciously hanging on to God. Now what I love as we get into the New Testament is we have Jesus, who's the most tenacious man to ever pursue his Father. And I love that Jesus is counterintuitive in his tenacious pursuit of the Father, right? It's like he does everything that you shouldn't do if you're building a world-changing ministry. Heal the sick. They all come. Way more come. They're about ready to like just, you know, the masses are about to come. Hey, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. What? No, I just want to be with my Father. I just want to obey him. I just want to be with him. Jesus, all of a sudden experiencing, you know, then persecution in Nazareth. They're going to push him off the cliff. They don't like him. They don't believe him. What does he do? He slips through the crowd. Where's my Father? Where's he at? I love in the garden before his own crucifixion. What's he doing? Tenaciously crying out to his Father. Pursuing him out of hunger in his heart. There's this tenacious pursuit, this tenacious love that God has invited each one of us into in our pursuit of him. And it's practical, it's real. It's not just a special moment. It's not a goosebump. It's not one of these crazy lights going off in your eye. It's like, it's real. It's what do I do when I wake up tomorrow morning? Will I choose to tenaciously pursue him? Or I kind of stick it in cruise control and just be like, another year, another day, no big deal, another moment of the TV, whatever, another moment of just just chilling, chillaxing, whatever it might be? Or will we wake up in the morning and go, not out of religion, not out of striving, I love him. Oh, I want him. Phones ringing, emails breaking in, like, might even be good stuff, might even be ministry stuff. Hey, can you meet one-on-one? You know, maybe, but no, not right now. Tenacity. Tenacity. Everything seeks to steal our tenacity and our love for Jesus. What does tenacious love look like in pursuing God? I would wager tonight, and I would propose to you tonight in our living room conversation, just lean forward a little bit on your recliner, pop it out of lazy boy mode. I would propose to you tonight that we have yet to see the tenacity that's possible in a believer's life. Not in a striving sense. Oh, we'll never get there in striving. Striving is to impress him. It's to try and earn his love. It's to earn a response. No, we're graduating from that. We're talking about love filled from the revelation of the love of God, a tenacious pursuit of his heart. We're talking about a fresh tenacity for the word of God. This guy right here, the book. This thing, getting it in our hearts. And I'm not talking about like a nice coffee shop moment. Bless the coffee shop moment. I love coffee. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we just have the, you know, there's just that moment. It's the coffee. It's like mostly cream, a lot of sugar in there. Bible open, nice psalm moment, candle lit in the background. Little incense burning, mood lighting. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I love the Bible. Really? Or do you love your incense? Oh, I love the word. Really? Or is that more caffeine than Bible? No, I'm talking about a generation, not an age group, but a people on the earth that are addicted to the authority of Scripture. Not like a sentimental moment in the Word. Not like that was so warm and fuzzy. No, like I need this thing in my heart. I need it in my mind. And I'm going after it with fresh tenacity to be a man after your Word, to be a man after your presence, and to scour its pages going, God, show me anything I can line my life up to. Conviction? Yes, bring it on. More conviction? Wow, bring more on. Holy, even more conviction? I don't even know if I'm saved, but bring it on, Jesus. Love and tenacity for the authority of Scripture. We are desperate in our day for a people who are tenacious for the word. Tenacious for the truth. Tenacious like David in Psalm 119. He uses all this crazy, like, romantic language about his love for the word. And he's using language we would normally use, like precepts. I don't even know what a precept is. Ordinances. I thought those were only, like, government. Hey, priests, I love your precepts. Oh, God, I meditate on your ordinances. Have you ever meditated on an ordinance? That was David's tenacity for the word. His tenacity, not just for the moment in the word, but the authority of Scripture gripping his heart. I think as we head into 2014, could it be that God's calling us to unprecedented humility, unity, love, impact? But could he be calling us to an unprecedented love and tenacity for his presence? I mean, unprecedented prayer. Not just like maybe we've learned it before. That's all wonderful. What would it look like to go to the next level? What would fresh tenacity in our prayer lives look like right now? Because, man, I just know I am so weak in prayer. I feel like if I'm super honest, it's an area I always fail in. Always have lots of good ideas. Man, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, a few weeks, few months later, like, wow, prayer kind of took a back seat to all these other things. Good things even at times. Ministry, all this other stuff. What would it look like to tenaciously pursue a prayer life? She is so cute, whoever she is. I bet you cuddle on your parents' shoulder. I'm not holding it against you. You do. I'm not holding it against you. I love you anyway. Yeah, she loves me too. It's breakthrough. I just had a healing moment up here. We reconciled over her ability to rest. She loves everybody. We have had unity, guys. She loves everybody. Yes, love is breaking out in the room. Guys, what would it look like? Fresh tenacity in the body of Christ. Revival begins in the heart. Revival begins in the home. The most sustainable revival in human history is a heart ablaze for God. The most sustainable fellowship of revival is the home, it's the marriage, it's the family. What would it look like individually and in our homes and our families to step into a fresh tenacity in our pursuit of God? I know I'm looking to the future without an ounce of shame or condemnation, but I'm looking to the future going, God, there's so much more and I want it. There's so much more and I want it. God, far be it for me to be 30 years down the road and going, I gave myself to a life of busyness and I forgot about you in the process. Far be it for me, I gave myself to a life of ministry, but I forgot about you in the process. No, 30 years from now, more tenacious for him. Full of that love. Tenacious love is the love that motivates men to do crazy things to pursue the heart of a woman. It's the thing that motivates the heart of a woman to do crazy things to pursue the heart of a man. We're familiar with examples of tenacity in our families, our children, our marriages, or the stories that we love and the movies are all around us. But what does that tenacity look like when a human heart is so set ablaze that the greatest longing of the heart is his presence? Is his face, is the place of intimacy. Could we call ourselves, could we look around the room in our eyes and sincerely, not religiously, but sincerely go, I am after fresh tenacity in my love for Jesus. I'm going to do it more wild than ever before. I'm going to surprise myself. I'm going to shock myself out of the box, counterintuitive, pursuing the presence of Jesus. Look at the person next to you and tell them what's in your heart there, sincerely. What is it you want? Tell him tenacious. I want to grow in my tenacity to pursue him. Tell him whatever it is that's on your heart right now. Sincerely, go for it. Okay, now just look at that person and just say, I'm going to do it. No excuses. There's no excuses. I'm just going to do it. If we don't get incredibly practical coming out of this, then maybe it won't achieve the fullness of what Jesus wants to do. Or you know what? If we make up so many excuses. I do too. My wife's the best. She just looks at me in the eye. You don't have any excuses. Just do it. It's the guy at the pool of Bethesda. I've been sitting here for 30 years. Really? Yeah, I can't make it in the water. 30 years? Everybody gets in before me. 30 years? Everybody's an invalid. I mean, couldn't you just roll? Jesus looking like, just get up. So he says to him, do you ever think about, we love the warm, fuzzy Jesus, but what about the get up Jesus? Maybe you need a little more dosage of the get up Jesus. There we are. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. Get up. It's been 10 years and I just keep wrestling with my prayer life. Get up. And then I love this. This is weird. The Bible's so strange. He sees him later on. Sees him in the market, I think it is. And he looks at him. He goes, hey. He goes, you better stop it. Or something worse is going to happen to you. It's in the Bible. It's Jesus. It's the Jesus that reaches down and goes, you're capable of so much more. And I love you enough to say it. Get up. And the guy got up. So maybe just look at the person next to you real quick and just say it. Get up. Get up. Because there's part of us that likes to have like the New Year's resolution like swirly deal in the journal. Little doodle mark, 10 New Year's resolutions, fragrance burning. So excited, Facebooking my New Year's resolutions. And then Jesus just breaks in and goes, I love them all. Now get up and do them. No more swirly gigs, just get up and do them. Don't worry about Facebook. Just get up and do them. And I think there's part of us that actually likes that. We look at him and go, really? He goes, yeah, you can do it. Just get up and do it. All right. get up our mat and start doing tenacious love. I'm telling you, it's not rocket science. We're all qualified. It's practical. It's simple. It's what we do tomorrow. Nobody's disqualified from this. That's why tenacity is a beautiful thing, because everyone can do it. Okay, second thing in the living room. Here we go. This is first closing. Not telling you how many closings there are. First John. But we're in a living room. It's not like you want to rush out, right? Snacks are coming. No, they're not. Maybe when you get home, just text your wife right now. She's at home. I need snacks. He talked about it so much, I'm hungry. Peanut butter crackers and hummus, vegan style. Now, Lancaster County probably doesn't eat vegan. No, I heard a lot of amens out there. That was the most reaction we've gotten all night. No, for real, I heard someone go, "That's right." We make our own meat in the backyard. Vegan that. Vegan, is that a cut of beef? Because I'm not sure what that is. Where on the cow does that come from, vegan? Somewhere in the back? Because I love the back. Fry that baby up. Let's do vegan tonight. That's why I love Lancaster County, man. You thought it was a cow part. That's awesome. It probably is. I may be the guy in the dark. Okay. Here we go. The second area of tenacious love that Jesus wants to drop in our living room. Are you ready to not like the Bible tonight? That's where we're going. 1 John, here it is. No, you're going to like it. It's a painful like. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. We cannot ever live in the place where the first commandment is an end in and of itself. It is, but it's not. The first commandment can't not bleed into a fruitful, radical, tenacious second commandment. And I am declaring that 2014 is a breakthrough in second commandment revelation. I feel like for years, and we'll never stop giving ourselves to the first commandment. Never, ever, ever, ever. It's the kindergarten we never graduate from. Sponge painting to the end, baby. But I think that out of our first commandment tenacity, which we've been talking about, this all has just been a reminder so far, is that he's birthing a radical pursuit of the second commandment with tenacity. Not like a courteous second commandment. Not just a little like, you know, the courtesy laugh, second commandment. I love you. You're like, that's a fake laugh. No, I love you. No, we've been kind of doing courtesy, second commandment, but I believe God is taking us into a tenacious love for the bride and for the lost that is so much more radical, uncomfortable, fruitful, and powerful than we even begin to understand. So here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. This is what it says. Anyone who loves their brother and sister and lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. No, for real, this is the Bible. Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. We've wrestled with stumbling for years, and our response has been this. Why am I stumbling? I hate stumbling. I must be a loser. Maybe it's 7 generations ago. Why am I still stumbling? I repented. I'm still stumbling. The Bible says, love the dude next to you and you might stop stumbling. The Bible says, get reckless and tenacious in your love for your neighbor and watch your foot step right over that speed bump you've been stuck on for 15 years. So many people are waiting maybe for another healing moment when all they need to do is love the guy next to them. And that eyes off the self and on the other person all of a sudden brings the breakthrough we've been waiting for 10 years like this. Why won't I break through? I focus so much on my sin, I can't believe I haven't broken through it. And Jesus goes, open your eyes. The guy next to you is broken, hurting, and dying. Love him and you'll stop stumbling. That's the Bible. I didn't really add that much to it. Verse chapter 3, verse 14. Here it goes. No, we're still going. The Bible, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. That's in the Bible. We know we passed from death to life because we love each other. In other words, we put so much, as we should, even more emphasis on this tenacity. But our Bible says you actually, the sign of passing from death to life is this tenacity. When the world looks on and they go, well, yeah, they're not just having good services. They're not just doing what's comfortable and safe. The world looks on and goes, they will not stop knocking on my door. And my mailbox has been filled with gift certificates for months. And every time one of them finds me, they're encouraging me. And they have this thing called prophecy that is so weird. And the Lord reveals the secrets of my heart. And the world looks on and goes, they have moved from death to life. Jesus looks on and goes, they have taken my resurrection power and they've taken this tenacity and they turn it into this tenacity. And he goes, there's life on my bride. No, there's more. There's more. There's more Bible verses on. A lot more. Chapter 3, verse 16. Here it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Man, I tell you, we are moving so far beyond unity. It looks like handshakes and, you know, sharing stages. We're moving to a unity that is gutsy. A unity that is uncomfortable. A unity that is tears and snot. A unity that is not just formal unity between organizations. Ugh. A unity that is actually love in the human heart, where we look across the table of our ethnicities or our generations or our denominations or any other Asians we can think of, and we look across the table and go, this isn't about some formal alliance that we form to make the new Council of the Eagle Network to take over the nation. When we look across the table and go, I love you. I don't even know your name. But something inside me is gripped for God inside of you and the calling on your life. And I don't even know you, but I actually kind of give my life for the calling on your life. And I don't even fully get you. Your background is weird, man. Those stories, never tell them again. But I love you no matter your past, no matter your denomination, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your generation. Man, I don't know. We could have reconciliation services day and night, but what if we just started to love each other? What if the young generation just looked across the table and goes, I don't get you. You still have a landline. But I love you. And I want everything I can get from you. And you're more experienced, you're more wise, you're still following Jesus. Teach me everything that you know. I love you. And it's not about how I want to do it and my genre and my style. Let's just do it together and let's make Jesus Lord. Where the nations look across the table and go, you do it a little like this and I do it a little bit like that. But I don't care. I love that uniqueness. I love that diversity. I love who God's made you. It goes on. I wasn't done. He says, if anyone has, this is least favorite verse in the Bible. Here it is. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dang. It's the Bible. It just never lets us off the hook with the courtesy Christianity. With the courtesy nod, with them like, hey, hope you make it. God bless you, buddy. No, my Bible says if you walk by your brother or sister who's in need and you have no pity, he goes, how can you actually say you're living the first commandment? There's no tenacity in your second commandment for a brother in need. How can you actually say you have tenacity in the first commandment? It goes on from there. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Let's read another one. You guys okay? Okay. Second closing. 1 John chapter 4 now. Skimming ahead to verse 8. Here we go, guys. This just gets so gnarly. Whoever does not love does not know God. Now I'm kind of wondering if I know God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. Goes on. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent this one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. The completion of the love of God is actually in a tenacious love for each other. Yeah, here's the deal, guys. The first commandment's sort of easy and sort of not. It's against like our, you know, desire for discipline, all those things. The snooze button's really tempting, but he's perfect. How hard is it to love a perfect dude? He's totally perfect. It's not like we look at him being like, well, you got angry with me and I'm not sure we can be friends anymore. No, he's perfect. He never had unjust anger. He's full of love. Well, there was that time you didn't forgive me. He's like, nah, there was just that time you didn't repent. I was ready to forgive you. Oh yeah, you're right. You're like, well, you just don't look that good. Like, no, I'm the most beautiful thing that ever didn't get created. And the most beautiful thing that ever did get created. In other words, you kind of look at God and he's pretty dang lovable. Let's put it that way. But what the Bible talks about is that if you're truly going to live in the fullness of this tenacity, it actually only finds completion when in the bride of Christ we begin to move into this tenacity. And this tenacity, guys, it's super practical. It's super real. It's normal. It's simple. It's everyday life. It's the shirt off my back. It's providing. It's generosity. It's generosity with our words. It's generosity with our time. It's generosity with our passion. And when the world sees it, what they say, there's God. The world looks on and goes, how can you worship a God you can't see? And the church's response should be, no, look at this love. And the world looks on and goes, oh my gosh, there is a God. And we're heading into an unprecedented day, humility, unity, love, and impact, where the second commandment becomes so tenacious. Guys, unforgiveness is no longer even an option. We look at that and we just go, I don't even want to touch that. I don't want to taste it. Oh my gosh, we're moving so far beyond that. Offense? No way. We just kick it out the door. I don't have time to waste on offense any longer. Criticism? Pfft. We blow criticism up. Gossip? Oh gosh, that tastes horrible. Instead, we look at each other and go, how can I love you more radically? What happens when one church looks across the road at another church and goes, yeah, our church is great. It's awesome. But how do we love that one? How do we make them succeed? No, come on, dream with me, guys. What happens when one denomination goes, man, our network's thriving, it's going great, or maybe it's not going that great, but how do we make those guys succeed? Wouldn't that be what Jesus would do? The day when one ministry looks at another and go, man, we don't even have enough to balance our own budget, but let's make sure they're doing great. What about when churches start taking offerings for other churches? What about the day where we begin to actually give generously to the person next to us because they're more in need than we are, or maybe they're less in need than we are, but we just want to be an expression of the extravagant, tenacious love of Jesus to them? What happens when that love begins shared between us and then spills over into a tenacious love for the world around us? Let me see if I got other verses on this. I have one more. Third closing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, last verse on this. Here's what it says. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. It's super simple. Don't you love simple messages? It's not profound. It's not complex. There's no like, what does he mean by that? What does it mean in the Greek? I don't know. I just read it in the English. What is he trying to say by that? Is there a hidden message? Nope. It's really that unimpressive. Because the more unimpressive and the more simple it is, the more multipliable it is, the more empowering it is, and the more that we'll all live it out. My Bible says, and he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I just believe with all my heart that out of this living room in Lancaster County is going to come a tenacious love for the bride and for the lost, that the nation looks on and goes, oh my gosh, we've never seen it. Leaders, pastors, business leaders, marketplace, trying to see each other's business succeed over their own. Churches is concerned about the guy next to them as their own. believers is concerned about each other's practical needs as our own. And then, man, when that gets hot, that tenacity, then the world looks on and goes, God is in Lancaster County. And they don't see a divided bride. They don't see us divided on ethnic lines or generational lines or denominational lines. They look on and what do they say? God is in Lancaster. And then, man, they go running because that love's about to pour out of that bride. It's such tenacity, such ferocity, such power and passion that the lost can't help but look at that and go, I am longing for that. I've longed for it for my whole life. And homes begin to spill over to homes. And people begin to spill over to people. And that little office cubicle begins to spill over to the other office cubicle. And the next thing you know, the gospel and the love of God saturates a region through simple, tenacious love. Why tenacious love? Why is love so important? Because I could speak in the tongues of angels and of men, but I have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I could have the gift of prophecy, I could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. I could have a faith that could move a mountain, but if I have not love, I am nothing. I could give my body to the flames, I could give everything I have to the poor, but if I have not love, I have gained nothing. Because love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not rejoice in evil, but it rejoices in truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Prophecies, come on guys, prophecies, they'll cease. Tongues, they're going to be stilled. Knowledge, going to pass away. It's all going to pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. When perfection comes, the incomplete passes away. When I was a child, I taught like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see as in a mirror dimly, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We can do all this stuff. We can do all the Christian stuff. We have all the great ideas. But if love doesn't mark it at its very core, does it accomplish? Does it have the power of the kingdom? Guys, I believe this love is breaking out in this county. I believe this love is breaking out in our marriages, our families, in our homes, in our churches like never before. Tenacious love for the person next to us. It's Jesus who went after the lost, the sinner. He sought them. He saved them. It's Jesus who went after those that no one else would go after. He was relentless in his pursuit of those who needed a touch of his love. Why don't you guys stand with me tonight? Fourth closing or fifth, I don't even remember. Well, the worship team, why don't you guys come up? We'll probably end in some worship. You'll be free to go if you'd like to or free to stay. I know some got to get their kids home, which is totally a worthy cause because your children probably sleep. Really happy for you. Here's my question to you in closing, sixth closing or whatever it is. What will people say about Lancaster County? What will the nations and what will the nation say about this county as love breaks out? Tenacious love. What do you think? What will we say? Joel, what will they say? They'll say love. What will Lancaster County be known for in the days, months, and years to come? What is it? What else? What are you going to be known for? Tenacious love. What else? Unity. What else? Humility. What else? Generosity. Compassion. Faith. Zeal. What else? What is it? Kindness. Jed, what will Lancaster County be known for? The nations. Passion for the nations. Perseverance. What is it? Joy. What was it? Obedience. What? Courage. A dwelling place? Praise God for you. What else? Hope. What? Worship. Healing. No, come on. Do you guys believe that physical healing is about to break out in this county like ever before? No, for real, guys. Because the key to physical healing isn't just like hyping ourselves up. You know what the key to physical healing is? Compassion. Tenacious love. Jesus isn't in the habit of just throwing out token miracles. He moves through love in the human heart. And when love becomes tenacious and we look at that person, I go, I don't care if anyone ever knows about it, but you're getting out of that wheelchair. Because I love you. I don't care if you ever remember my name or anyone else ever does, but I love you enough to desire and long that you would be healed tonight. That's where we're heading. What else will Lancaster County be known for? Children who love the Lord. Jesus. No, for real, the nation will look on and be like, I'm from Lancaster County. They'll be like, oh, Jesus. And you'll be like, yep, pretty much. What else? Someone in the back. What? Ooh, yes. Amen. Someone else. Family. Oh, man, where the world is wanting to so destroy this thing of family that the nation would look on and go, no, it is possible to restore the family. It is possible to see moms and dads love each other, children raised in a loving environment. It is possible to see family in the bride. Lancaster County will be known for that. What else? What is it? No more divorce. Come on. Why not? Why not? Could we believe that a generation could be raised up that says divorce will never be an option? When I say I do, I mean it. And they both mean it. Through hardship, through difficulty, pressing in. What did you say? Selflessness. Oh, that the fragrance of selflessness will rise from Lancaster County. So guys, here we are in another living room moment. You're just shouting from your lazy boy. I love it. Some of you guys got the leather couch. Some of you guys got the pleather couch. I'm sorry. There's always one pleather couch in the living room. But here we are declaring what we believe the Lord is saying over Lancaster County. And the Lord is speaking back to us tonight saying the key to everything you just said, tenacious love. So can we tonight declare that we are ending the famine of withholding love? No, this is big, guys. Withholding it from someone who's different from us, someone who doesn't smell like us, someone who doesn't talk like us, withholding it from someone from a different background, different denomination, a different generation. Can we declare tonight that we are ending the famine of love and we are shattering withholding? And we are moving into tenacity that will inspire a nation of what's possible. Why not Lancaster? Why not here? Why not those in this room? And you know, really, it's not just about who's in this room. Everybody's in this room right now. 600,000 Lancaster County residents. We're in the living room together right now because we're for all. And far beyond Lancaster County. But why not? Why not all those things we shouted? As we leave this place filled with fresh tenacity, shattering that withholding, I believe we could see a ripple effect out of here that the nation looks on and goes, it's possible. God is alive. He is active. I don't care what the news says. He's moving. He moved in Lancaster. He can move in my home. So let's do this. Grab hands again. Family moment. All the way to the back. Man, there is so much juice in the back of the room. I can see it from here. It's wild what's going on back there. There's so much hunger for Jesus. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, we are ending the famine of love. We declare an end to withholding love. Courteous love. And we declare that like never before, we are walking in tenacious love. So we repent for every ounce of withholding, every ounce of passivity, not doing the good that we know we ought to do. And we are getting up tonight. We are getting up tonight. Off the floor of introspection. Off the floor of self-focus. So come and fill us with tenacious love right now, Jesus. Come and fill us with crazy love for the person next to us, God. For our neighbor. For the church down the road. For our business partners, God. For our families, our moms and our dads. Just begin to ask for it. Tenacious love. Tenacious love would fill our hearts. Supernatural, tenacious love.